This is Emory University Sound Science, conversations on transforming health and healing. Coming up on Emory University Sound Science, Javed Butler discusses heart failure, what it is, how to treat it, and ways to prevent it. Butler is the director of heart failure research at Emory University. In the clinic, he treats patients with heart failure. In the lab, he looks for new ways to prevent and treat the condition. Javed Butler.
The one-line definition of heart failure would be that any condition in which the heart is unable to pump enough blood for the metabolic needs of the body. Now, that does not mean that the heart is not pumping or has stopped working, as the word heart failure may suggest. People live for years and years with heart failure, and you need to acknowledge that and make sure that the patients and the family realize that.
Butler says that heart failure is not a disease, but a syndrome. So there's a whole family of different diseases that may comprise this condition. They're known collectively as heart failure. Most people have one of two types. About half have heart failure with preserved ejection fraction, and the other half have heart failure with reduced ejection fraction.
If you have 100 cc's of blood in the heart, normal heart pumps out about 55 cc's. So in other words, normal ejection fraction is 55%, not 100%. So if your ejection fraction is preserved, but the heart is still not pumping enough to meet the metabolic needs, it's called heart failure with preserved ejection fraction. And if the ejection fraction is reduced, then it's called heart failure with reduced ejection fraction.
In general, the older we get, the more likely we are to get heart failure with preserved ejection fraction. The younger we are, the more likely we are to get heart failure with reduced ejection fraction.
Now, what we have done over the past couple of decades is incredible strides in developing new therapies for heart failure with reduced ejection fraction. This group used to have a very high mortality, over 50% within 5 years of diagnosis, over 20% within 1 year. And the 1 year mortality for this group of patients collectively has gone down to less than 8%.
The decline in mortality can be attributed to ever-evolving therapies for heart failure. These therapies include heart transplants, in the most drastic cases, and medications and pacemakers, as well as defibrillators.
There are a ton of medications which are out there. The trick is to give all these medications in a particular combination at a particular dose level, so it does require some art and some work with the patient.
However, for several reasons, heart failure with preserved ejection fraction is more difficult to treat.
Fortunately, heart failure with preserved ejection fraction is not as well studied. We don't understand this entity as well. And if you don't understand the basic pathophysiology developing treatment, these people have an incredibly high proportion of comorbidity. So these are people who are obese, have sleep apnea, have lung problems, have diabetes, have uncontrolled hypertension, so on and so forth. But even if you were to develop therapy for this entity, it's not going to save you from dying from these other comorbidities. That is an incredibly important entity because that is so tightly linked to aging, and population is aging.
Not only is heart failure with preserved ejection fraction linked to aging, but it's also linked to obesity, another growing trend in the United States.
I really worry that this trend, unfortunately, will not only stabilize but might even reverse because of the obesity epidemic. So obesity links to hypertension and diabetes, and I think we are in this honeymoon period that all our interventions, that the outcomes have improved substantially, but in the young to middle-aged population, this obesity epidemic is going to catch up to us, not only heart failure, but heart attacks and stroke.
Which is why Butler's research is now focusing on prevention through lifestyle changes, as well as models pinpointing who is at risk for heart failure.
So the question is, well, how do you measure the risk for heart failure so that you can have appropriate interventions? I mean, you can have the world's best intervention, but if you apply to the entire population, nothing will be cost effective. And cost is a big part of the equation. So how do you identify people at the highest risk where you can have the best chance of reducing their risk? I'm really motivated to start with lifestyle modification. Our next stuff is to implement interventions and see if we can prevent heart failure. So that's where the rubber meets the road.
I'm Robin Trocolis, and this is Emory University's Sound Science.